I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and this is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. We are assailed in our modern world with all sorts of problems. There are money worries, health of aging parents, stress and depression, crime and taxes. Coping with all of that can make us forget the beautiful things around us every day. But there's another influence no one talks about in our modern number-crunching world, and that is the very real influence from the spiritual world. That's not the topic of dinner conversations these days. Well, actually, we don't even have conversations anymore, do we? Everything being pushed into the digital world of email, chat, and Instagram, which emphasizes the point. The deeper levels of the human experience are not being plumbed anymore, and to our great detriment. It's like spirituality is something we feel at times, something we sense is important, but something we keep at arm's length for fear of being branded weird or fanatic. But spirits were not dismissed in the past. Shakespeare exploited the knowledge of them for great art. Let's explore spiritual relevance more on our program. Our entangled spiritual reality today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. We are streaming on the Stop Radio Network at stopradio.org, through iTunes radio stations, and free to your smartphone through the TuneIn Radio app. Just look for Stop Radio Network there. Well, we're embarking on a series of programs here now on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, inspired by a couple of new books written by Dr. Norberto Kepi, our spiritual mentor on this program. You know, I've been studying and teaching Kepi's science of psychosociopathology, what he calls analytical trilogy, for about 17 years now. And I continue to be impressed with how a psychoanalyst can have such profound insights into every area of human endeavor. Every teacher down here in Brazil has this experience. You're looking for material, say, on shyness for a lecture or class, and you do a little search through all of the Kepian material that we have down here, and you'll find reams of stuff, both from his 40 or so books and also from his hundreds of TV programs. You want to delve into relationships in a new and provocative way? Hundreds of observations about the problems most commonly encountered and how to treat them, which, of course, you'd expect from a world-renowned psychoanalyst with more than 50 years of clinical experience. But unexpectedly, you uncover things about the metaphysical finality of relationships, the true purpose of being in a relationship. And this journey opens up vast avenues of consciousness that are always sharp, wise, and peerless. His writings and broadcasts on health would fill a library. Kepi's science is a union of science with philosophy and theology, so it's more expansive and inclusive than most healing modalities. It doesn't push spirituality or philosophy of life out to the fringes. Kepi's always been attentive to the existential questions underlying the more prosaic everyday concerns that people bring to their therapy sessions. These deep spiritual concerns have been the subject of his most recent books. Well, all of his books, actually, but especially his most recent ones, Psychotherapy and Exorcism and Sociotherapy and Exorcism. And it's from these seminal works that his principal assistant, Dr. Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco, and I draw our inspiration for this series of radio programs we're working on now. But first, I'd like to make an offer to you. This new book, Psychotherapy and Exorcism, we just finished translating that into English now, and I see it as a fundamental book to have here in 2019. We are, as human beings, and we always have been, engaged in a spiritual battle here on earth. The greatest saints and mystics have advised us about that, especially Jesus. His work was to free us from the demonic influence, actually. So, with this in mind, I would like to make this new book, Dr. Kepi's new book, Psychotherapy and Exorcism, available to you for free. If you're interested in a copy of that book, just drop me an email, okay? jones@stop.org.br for your free copy. It's a riveting read, and I'm very happy to send it to you. Okay, so with no more further ado, let's dive into our entangled spiritual reality. We'll do that when Thinking with Somebody Else's Head returns in just a moment.
From the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in São Paulo, Brazil, this is the Stop Radio Network.
So you don't want to stop cutting trees because...
I make money.
Uh-huh, but if we keep cutting them...
Well, it affects the weather a little.
Ooh, a lot, actually.
And it contributes to global warming.
Well, that's kind of serious.
And destroys the ecosystem.
So what'd I get you to stop?
Well, if they paid me the same money to stop cutting trees that I get for cutting them...
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it.
If I don't cut the trees, someone else will.
Inversion. It's killing us. A message from the Stop the Destruction of the World Association. StopNA.org.
You're listening to the Stop Radio Network, originating from the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Our programs are also affiliated with the Stop the Destruction of the World Association, bringing consciousness of the root causes of human problems since 1992.
We're back. Thinking with Somebody Else's Head is on the Stop Radio Network. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and very pleased to have with me again Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco. We are here here in the library of the, not in our normal studio, in the library of the International Society of Analytical Trilogy, just underneath Claudia's office. This library was one of the first places I came when I came to Brazil, and it's full of like books about psychoanalysis and psychosomatics and history and theology. It's like a very rich atmosphere. It's very deeply wood paneled, very deep, dark, almost a mahogany type wood that we're here in, with the glass doors behind which are all sorts of books. And there's a number of final projects of the students who have been doing the post-graduation courses in Analytical Trilogy. Some of this information I'm giving you, you won't have a contact with because you don't know so much.
But they can use their imagination.
They use their imagination. And you can also do a lot of research on our sites. Maybe the first site for you to go to in English would be the Stop Radio site, stopradio.org. And Claudia and I have been doing a number of programs on that radio station. If you listen to Stop Radio, you hear Claudia Pacheco all the time, and we're talking about many of these themes. Do you know we've had like, I think it's almost a million hits.
Wow.
On our radio station. It's
good
like
to know.
a lot of people in 192 countries have listened to our programs.
Wow, good.
It's quite impressive, actually, when you start to see how Dr. Kepi's work of Analytical Trilogy is, and Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco's work in Analytical Trilogy is really entering the world. This is very beautiful.
It encourages me.
Yeah, good. We need encouragement sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
So we have been talking, Claudia and I, for a number of weeks about how to do a series of classes on this new book of Dr. Kepi, Psychotherapy and Exorcism. And this is a book I think that is Dr. Kepi is very personally very excited about, because we've been sending it out to many theologians, priests,
psychiatrists, psychologists,
theological schools,
paranormal,
rabbis, paranormal
researchers,
for them to understand that this idea that exorcists and many theologians have, that possession, demonic influence, only happens once in a while in a few people, that this is not true, that actually we are all influenced spiritually all the time without perceiving it. We don't have much contact with that. And what we're trying to do is the scientific analysis of spiritual phenomena, especially the question of mental illness and demonic possession. So this is where we'll hope to get, but not to think of demonic possession as just the rare cases we see in the movies, but that it's a factor for all of us. So what we're hoping to do here is have a scientific analysis of spiritual phenomena, especially the question of mental illness and demonic possession, and remembering that demonic possession is not something that only happens in the movies, that this kind of diabolical influence is everywhere in our modern society. So this is what we'll talk more about.
And this is totally a new approach, Richard, a totally new approach. Lately, the Pope Francisco, he has been talking and trying to introduce this concept inside the mind of the religious people, bishops, cardinals, mostly of the religious all over the world, don't speak about the devil any longer. Father Amort, who was one of the main, or maybe the most famous exorcist, official exorcist of Rome, the Vatican, he was talking a lot about possessions. But even Father Amort did a distinction between possession and mental illness. Possession and social illness. So they didn't bring together this transdisciplinary science was absolutely built by Dr. Kepi, because he has in his background both backgrounds, the theological and philosophical and scientific, the threefold background.
And the Catholic theology, I think, is the most advanced theology.
Yes, all the Catholics, Rome, and even the Orthodox Catholics, yeah. They are very much deep in what they...
Sure,
what they,
and even the original Protestants come from the Catholic Church, too.
The Christians. Yeah. The Christians, they are all very deep in their knowledge.
Yeah. So as you're watching, you'll have a chance to hear more about Dr. Kepi's work. It's deep and it's really, really important on our planet today. And sitting across the table from me is Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco, who joined Kepi Society early on, 1974, working first as Kepi's assistant, but soon attending clients herself in Kepi's innovative psychotherapeutic treatment. So Kepi, in the pursuit of understanding the nature of human problems, started with the theological and realized that it was too limited for him, that he needed a more scientific approach, not just theological. So he entered into the area of psychotherapy to try to treat clients individually and in group sessions in scientific ways, not just their theological questions, but their economic questions, relationship problems, health problems.
Psychosomatic problems, mental illnesses.
Especially, a big focus of Dr. Kepi's work. So we're dealing here with a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom from many, many, many years of experience. So he created his own interdisciplinary science he called Analytical Trilogy, which he named for the union of science with philosophy and theology. So this is now not something that's only theological, only philosophical, only scientific, but all three of those aspects together, which gives it a lot of ability, I think, capacity to understand the human problems and human issues.
This shift started in 77.
77.
When he realized that...
You were there at the beginnings of this, Claudia.
Yes, I was.
Put us in that.
I'm a witness.
You're a witness. Put us in that
not
place.
Not only a witness, but I have been participating into this beautiful journey. Well, in 1977, he was researching and researching, always digging and digging, like an archaeologist of the mind. And he discovered that it was like an inspiration that the human being didn't suffer from an unconscious, as Freud put, as an instinctive or innate kind of unconscious life or unconscious source of pathologies and desires, but having like an instance called unconscious. But what mainly was a cause or a manifestation of human pathology was what Dr. Kepi called inversion. Human beings are upside down, perceiving, reacting, living upside down. So after this intuition, he told me, Claudia, now I must study even more and start all over from the beginning. All the understanding of human soul must be reviewed, reanalyzed, and corrected under this perspective. And that's how he started in 77. He was able, in the end of 79, to complete a new body of psychoanalysis theory, his own integral psychoanalysis, that then he called analytical trilogy, because it encompassed also the fields of philosophy, metaphysics, and theology.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive
and
work.
You know who they call the inverted, the big inverted?
Lucifer.
He's upside down.
Yeah. So this idea of inversion, we'll get into, we could do a whole course just on that concept alone, but the idea that we see the world upside down is so clear. One of my students was telling me, he was just in New York and Boston recently, doing a little presentation there, and he was talking about the economy there. They have so little unemployment now, such a low level of unemployment in the United States now, that they're having problems with the economy because they don't have people enough to do other work. You know, all the jobs are full. So he was telling me that they are talking in the economy now how you need a certain level of unemployment to make the economy work. And I was saying to him, but that's totally crazy. Somebody being unemployed, how can that be good for the economy? You can see the economy, the way it's structured, is inverted. This idea that somebody could not be working and that's good for the economy, this is a crazy idea.
It has an inversion in the very root. The first cause of it is inverted.
So that's just I just want to give a little example of how that is, because you can see that in every area of life, including theology and this question that we're entering now of Lucifer and of the demons. This idea of the devil, Lucifer, Satan, many names, Beelzebub. I think there's many different names for this being, and maybe there are different beings. This I don't know, but is this just a myth, a product of hallucination? There are many people, even in the church, who believe that the devil as an entity does not really exist. It's more a mythology or something.
Wilfred Bion, a famous psychoanalyst, said, "To hallucinate is not only to imagine and see and hear things that apparently do not exist, but it's mostly deny what is obvious, what we hear, we see, and we sense with our five common regular senses, but also with our intuitive sense, our consciousness, our perception, our intuition."
Yeah.
So what have been happening is this form of hallucination since this started mostly officially with Descartes, I guess.
Descartes, 1600s.
René Descartes. Yeah. And then it was like growing and growing. And in the 19th century, this was already something very well established, that demonology was something like belonging to the past, a kind of a backwarded view of life and spirituality.
Yeah, we don't believe that anymore.
20th century, my God, that was really a total hallucination in all areas, because then everybody denied the existence of evil in the world.
Yeah.
And evil being something like
a creature.
Yeah. So, but then we have to think, okay, so people started to say evil exists only inside man or the human being.
Yeah.
It does not exist outside the human being and the human mind. And very disservice.
Yeah. In the environmental movement, it was characterized as being in the corporations, in the government, in the laws, in the regulations, that the evil doesn't come from another influence. It's just a few people who want to make too much money, a kind of a greed thing. It was seen as that too.
But seeing evil in its purest forms and almost like denying this must be very evil, you know? Denying the existence of evil, denying the presence, as Malachi Martin quoted,
mm-hmm.
the presence, the evil presence of this being, it's noticeable, it's very obvious. So people started to deny what is obvious. But to understand this more, it's important to have a more metaphysical philosophy or metaphysical way of thinking, which goes to the primary causes of everything.
Yeah.
So if you go and you analyze what is the cause of this, and then what causes this, and then what is the first cause of the phenomena. So if you study the first origin of evil, must be from a being, an intelligent being, willful, intelligent, and this must be not God, because God is only good, beautiful, and truthful. So God in his essence does not allow any particle of evil or suffering. No suffering coming from God whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where does it come from, this evil force, this malignant, suicidal, homicidal, destructive force, if we don't have it in our nature? So here comes physiology, biology, genetics, to state that all forces from nature, all forces from life, are meant to preserve and to reinforce
and propagate life.
And propagate life. To preserve and propagate life. Never, ever to destroy it.
Yeah, even the sexual instinct is about this, right?
All instincts
everything.
Are for life, not against. So this evil instinct does not come from our genetics, from nature, and even much less from its creator, which is God.
Yeah.
So what happened then? So we need to pay attention to this revelation we got from our ancient civilizations that always for millennia knew about evil spirits or evil transcendental or physically invisible spiritual beings.
The invisible spiritual world that we're trying to make more visible today. You're listening to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network. We're back in a moment. You're listening to the Stop Radio Network, a production of the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Our work on the Stop Radio Network is based on the landmark psychological and philosophical science of analytical trilogy, developed by Brazilian psychoanalyst and social scientist Norberto Kepi. This is a comprehensive science that offers perspectives on every area of human endeavor. We expand on this extensively in our flagship program, Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. And we offer many other resources for your development, including radio and TV programs, an extensive library of books, psychoanalysis sessions worldwide, teleclasses, conferences, and lectures, and volunteer social programs. To find out more, check out our site at stop.org.br.
I remember the book Glorification that Dr. Kepi wrote. I was with him many of the nights or days where he got those inspirations from God. And it was a necessity for him to write what he received. So the book was totally written under inspiration. But it's not only a theological book. It's mostly a scientific book. Very therapeutic book. Very beautiful, by the way. And he used to wake up during the night, 2, 3 in the morning, and he said, let's go to the top of the mountain. And we were watching the sky in this dark night with no interference, so you could transcend the sky and see heaven through it. My God, you could adapt the writings that he did with the music of Beethoven, and this would be a trilogy of his writings, and the music, it would be heaven.
Norberto Kepi's Glorification, available in the bookstore at stop.org.br.
You're listening to the Stop Radio Network from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Our programs are based on the landmark science of Dr. Norberto Kepi, and there are many exciting applications of his work occurring in Brazil and numerous other locations around the world. This includes language classes, translation services, psychology sessions by phone or Skype, and the new energy solutions proposed by the Kepi Motor. Kepi's expansive science is outlined in his many books and TV programs, all available through our site at stop.org.br. Now back to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network.
We're back. You're listening to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, our entangled spiritual reality. That's the subject of our program today on the Stop Radio Network. Richard Lloyd-Jones with Claudia Bernhardt-Pacheco. Dr. Kepi says here that we ourselves, meaning you and he and the members of his society, when beginning our work, did not believe in spirits and demons as a influence on the human being. We thought those ideas were extremely naive, that they eliminated man's responsibility for his own errors, that it would be like putting the blame on the devil. Well, you can see this comes a lot from the influence, I think, of the Austrian school, right, of the
all the scientific
existentialists,
schools.
Right? We create our existence.
Yeah, all psychologies, Richard, they never consider spirits pathology. The psychologists and the psychology schools, the psychological orientations, psychoanalysis, even mostly psychiatry, they do not consider spirit pathology.
So what led you and Dr. Kepi to that area? How did you, I mean, if the whole training of psychoanalysis is that the individual and problems with the parents, problems with trauma from childhood, biological problems, what led you guys to go deeper into that?
Experimental practice of psychoanalysis.
Yeah.
We were lucky, Richard, because we have always had hundreds of clients to attend in our society. People who came to us suffering with mental illnesses, psychosis, neuroses, psychosomatic illnesses. Because since the beginning of Dr. Kepi's work, he was very much able to heal people from psychosomatic diseases. He worked in the hospital of the University of São Paulo for many years. And there he was like a major psychotherapist and psychosomatic researcher. And so, quoting again Bion, he said, "What heals is the truth." So don't stick to theories when you see a client, but go to the truth, to the deeper truth, because only truth heals the patient. And this was a psychiatrist and a psychoanalyst speaking, not Jesus. And Jesus said the same. So when people came to Kepi, because he had this very, very deep belief in Jesus Christ and his teachings. So when people came in and asked him, "How come you can be a psychoanalyst and be Christian at the same time?"
Yeah.
And he said,
as if the two were totally incompatible.
Yeah, exactly, because Freud was an atheist.
Yeah.
So he said, "Well, if I have to choose Jesus or Freud, I will always pick up Jesus' teachings." So there is no problem with that. And doing so, he was able to heal more people and faster because he had Jesus Christ's spirit of his teachings.
Yeah.
Now, going back to what I was saying, you asked me, how did you get there? It was like through the inner self of human beings. There, inside the human being, we found that Lucifer or many other followers of Lucifer and demons and devils are hidden there inside us, doing a lot of harm.
Appearing through our ideas or the way we speak about others.
And not only through hallucinations, deliriums, not only in the so-called psychotic people. No, no, no. In the psychotic, this is absolutely clear, as in the hysterical patients. It's very clear, the action of the devil. Some people used to say, "Oh, this is just a theatrical form of expression. People are like under suggestion, psychological suggestion."
Watching too many movies or something like
yes,
this.
Yes, or wanting to call attention towards them.
Yeah.
But the psychotic, the schizophrenic, the deliriums, the themes of the deliriums, they were always, always, always evil. And mental illness is a form, it's a kind of, like, it's a matter of degree, let's say so. You can be with your psychosis under control and be just a neurotic. But you can develop this. If you do not pay attention, if you do not understand what is happening, what is going on in your mind, you can become a psychotic. You can become an epileptic patient even. You can, like, become a possessed, a true possessed person.
By following ideas that are crazy, by thinking things, by allowing these strong emotions to dominate, we can become
absolutely
possessed.
Absolutely.
This I see this, you know, Claudia.
Because possession always comes with what they call negative emotions, negative behaviors, destructive behaviors, lack of ethics, like psychotic, like psychopaths, killers, suicidal, addicted, like substance abusers.
People who get furious for nothing.
Compulsive behavior. So there are many, many expressions of mental illness, which we know they are always involving spiritual components. In Brazil, we have many, many people that follow that kind of, it's not a true religion, but it's a sort of a spiritualistic activities where they have those mediums, they receive
the spirits of dead ancestors or
all sorts of.
Yeah.
So here in Brazil, it's so well known, this activity. But you know what happened? When we received clients coming from spiritual, like spiritist background, from these places where they receive and they call and they are medium and they have this...
They call the spirits, don't they?
They call, they receive, they incorporate. They were much, much more difficult to get healed. Much, much complicated. Hmm. They could even be like... In key positions in society. They were like professors in universities, they were politicians, directors of enterprises, but they had this kind of disturbance, spiritual disturbance, that ended up by destroying their career, their profession, or their health, physical health.
And how did you come to see these kinds of reactions that people had as spiritual? A normal psychologist would just say it's a delirium, it's a chemical imbalance. What led you to say, is it your theological background that led you guys to say that this has to be something spiritual?
Not only theological, but we did what Bien advised.
Uh-huh.
He said, observe the client.
Yeah.
Talk to the client. See the truth. Mm. Why should we say, no, you are not seeing anyone. You are not seeing anything. You are not hearing anything.
Of course.
So only this, Richard, because if you go to a doctor and you tell, I'm hearing voices, he will give you immediately a very strong
antipsychotic medicine.
Yeah. Or they even institutionalize
it. Yeah, sure.
They put you under situations that are unbearable for you.
Yeah.
That will destroy you, your personality, your health, your future, your life.
There's, when you listen to Beyond, then there was something, but I think there's something here too, Claudia, about you and Dr. Kepi, your belief, faith, that led you to say, well, let's listen to this. Let's really try and understand what this is instead of just dismissing it.
I would say that we were led more by our scientific attitude.
Okay.
And we wanted, really, humanitarianly speaking, our humanitarian side, to support, you know, the degree of suffering of a person who hears voices and sees the spirits and they don't know what to do with it. It's so immense, the suffering, that we wanted to help them. So we started to consider the possibility of them speaking the truth and really be seeing and watching and hearing spirits. So simple as this, we started to support them in this journey, be at their side and analyze the situation with them. And you know what happened? Many of them
got relief. They got relief.
They were out of psychosis. they were able to go back to almost normal life, like any neurotic person, as we all are. So they, just doing analysis, no medication, they went out of their crisis, the psychotic crisis. We started to think, oh my God, so Jesus Christ was real. What he said was true. All the biblical references then were not just symbolic or metaphorical. Well, they were true.
Because Satan, Lucifer, wants us to be ignorant of his existence. If we're ignorant of it, he has much more reign to move, you know. The New Testament talks about the devil and his demons many times. Jesus calls Satan the enemy, the evil one, the prince of this world, a liar and the father of lies, a murderer. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of this age. If we're going to be truly Christian, to listen to what Jesus had to tell us when he came here over 2,000 years ago, we should be listening to this.
And if you pay attention, he came this exactly for this. Otherwise, he would not have to come.
He would not have to come here.
He came to advise that we were following the wrong orientation, the wrong God, an upside-down being. And he was all the time exercising people, chasing out demons, healing and healing and healing with mercy, and believing in what they said, not denying the suffering they had, and knowing the cause. So you would ask me, Claudia, why then should we need psychotherapists, or why should we need science if all the priests and pastors are teaching this, or most of them are teaching this, and many evangelic pastors are chasing out demons in churches? Because this matter of demons and demonology and evil is not only a matter of a church, for a religious person or religious people or a church. It's an universal problem. It's a social problem. It's all civilization is impregnated by evil. So if you go to a church, and if you have like a blessing, and if you are healed from a heart disease or from a suffering, a compulsion, if you do not understand in depth how intrincado, we say in Portuguese.
Ah, yeah, sure, entangled. It's like...
It's so entangled.
Inside everything.
Evil is so much entangled in society, in laws, in the field of also sciences, like medical science, like technology, physics, education.
Economy.
All fields. So we suffer from the influence of evil, of the devil, not only through our minds, which is the most common source, like of evil, is through our minds. But not only this, all society is impregnated. So we should get united, get together, and do like a transdisciplinary study, and fight the common enemy. I want to make clear that this separation between like religious people and science, medical people, psychoanalysts, is very, very harmful. They fight. They say, this is not a matter for science. And scientists say, oh, this is just an illusionary thing. We will not deal with spiritual problems. This is not our matter. It is. It's the matter of all of us.
It seems difficult to accept the relevance of this, doesn't it? So complete has been our programming in our Western education system anyway. Just entering a transcendental explanation for human experience into the discussion can get you labeled a wacko psychotic, or at best a dabbler in pseudoscience. But I believe Norberto Kepi is bringing a cohesive and valuable perspective to the table. One thing to leave you with, our first mistake comes when we deny that the planet is dominated by demons. That's our program for this time. More to come in our series on spirituality. Stay tuned. You're listening to Thinking with Somebody Else's Head on the Stop Radio Network.
From the International Society of Analytical Trilogy in São Paulo, Brazil, this is the Stop Radio Network.